Welcome to the Anime Syndicate Podcast. As you know, I am your host, Frank. And we had a stipulation last episode. And for the next so often, it's going to just be me for now, since Josh broke the deal. So, now I'm just messing with you guys. I'm joined here with Josh.
Yo.
And special guest, Ruben.
What's up?
And we are here to discuss season one of Overlord. But before we get started, Josh, was I right?
I'm not going to say you were right, but it's not bad.
Your eyes twitched as you said that.
It's not bad. It's pretty, okay. It's pretty all right. So you want to listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do you? No, it's pretty good. I'm pretty, I watched the first episode and I said, all right, I'm in.
Are you sports entertained, as you like to say?
Oh, I'm highly sports entertained by this fucking show. But yeah, but before we get into that, I would just like to say to all of the agents out there, if you want to listen to not just this, but a host and multitude of our other podcasts, you can find them on GameRageMagazine.com. You can find our geopolitics podcast and current events, Central Intelligence podcast. We have a music one called All Gas, No Trash. We have the Game Rage Movies and TV, where we talk about all kinds of
shows and shit.
Well, yeah, we haven't come up with a better one yet because we're dumb. So
I think I have a couple.
All right. Well, we'll workshop them and see what happens. But
if I say I have a couple, I'm going to punch you in the dick until you fucking fix it.
Oh, all right. So you have no ideas and you're just going to keep punching me in the dick.
I just want to punch you in the dick.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so yeah, you can go there and check out all of our other podcasts. And then you can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. And you can also follow us on Twitter if you like that one at Game Rage Mag. So anyways, all right, cheap plug out of the way. So did we want to, before we get into the Overlord, do we want to try those things first?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. So go ahead and explain while I grab them.
So we decided to go to 99, was it Ranch Market or whatever? Yeah. What's it called?
99 Ranch Market.
Yeah, okay. Because Josh saw the...
It's called the Propitious Mango Ice Cream something. It's like got white chocolate. It's like a, looks like a teardrop. I don't know. Have you seen those, Ruben?
I have not heard of it.
All right. So it's like this little thing. It's like a little cup. And then it has this little stick. It's got like a wooden stick. And it's got this teardrop shaped ice cream. It's mango ice cream. And it's a hard, like a hard white chocolate. You remember, the shit you used to put on ice cream, though, that would make it hard.
The magic shell.
It's, yeah. I think it's like that, but it's white chocolate on the outside. And I saw it on the stupid internet, and everybody fucking says it's the most amazing shit ever.
So we went there. They didn't have it.
Yeah, of course they didn't fucking have it.
But we did see, because it's an Asian market, we saw a bunch of Japanese things that we haven't had tried yet.
Yeah.
And one of them being, I don't want to mispronounce it because it sounds too close to another Japanese food.
It's called taiyaki.
Yeah, because I keep saying takoyaki, which is the squid balls.
Yeah, yeah. So it's taiyaki, which is a Japanese frozen wafer sandwich, which is for some reason in the shape of a fish. It's a Monaka wafer. I don't know what the fuck that is. Vanilla flavored cream, sweet azuki bean paste, and chocolate coating. So this should hopefully be pretty good. Maybe we should save this for the end because this is probably going to be the last thing.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that...
Hold on. Before we get to that, in honor of the greatest uncle in television history, we decided to grab these little jasmine green tea drinks.
Yeah.
In honor of Uncle Iroh.
Yeah. Good old Uncle Iroh.
Because jasmine tea was always his favorite.
Yeah, yeah. So...
And then we'll save that one for next.
we'll do this one next. We won't even say what it is yet because it's. Oh yeah, that's a crack of the Ito N Jasmine Green Tea Unsweetened. Let's give it a little. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You know what's awesome is there are zero calories in this.
Yeah, because it's tea.
That's pretty awesome. I think these are pretty good, man. Too bad they don't sell these in. Like a bulk format, like at Sam's. Oh, maybe Costco has them because they have a bunch of.
Yeah, that's just refreshing.
Yeah, it's really refreshing.
That is refreshing. All right,
so we saved the good one first and the best one for last.
Yeah.
And now that's
Jesus Christ.
I've seen this a lot. I never thought I was going to try it, but here we go.
All right. Tom, so Josh. This is from a company called Latte or Lot. It's called Milky's. It's a milk and yogurt flavored soda. And the worst part is. on the translation on the bottom where, you know, it normally tells you like the flavor of soda. All it says is new feeling of soda beverage. That's what it says. I don't know how I feel about this, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm a little scared. I'm a little fucking scared. Yeah, let's Rochambeau this to see who has to go first.
It's colored also doesn't help.
It's also literally it looks like cum. It looks like someone's been jerking off into a bottle and just saving it. Cause it is gonna be terrible.
Rochambeau.
All right. Wait. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Shit.
Fuck. All right. So he gets to go last. Yeah. All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Fuck.
All right, you're first, Josh.
Damn it. All right. Here we go. So let's get the little. Oh, nice little hiss. That registered well on the.
Nice little hiss.
Yeah, nice little hiss there. This ASMR. Hey,
let's get this on the table. Let's get this on the plate. Nice.
All right.
Oh, who's that from again? MRE Steve?
Yeah. Steve 1989 MRE or something like that. Okay, I'm going to give it a smell first. Okay, I'll tell you what. It doesn't smell bad. Like, it has like a citrusy kind of smell to it.
Yeah.
Like, it just smells like Sprite almost.
Unfortunately, I don't have the ability to sense to smell, so I can't smell it.
Okay, well, here we go. That's actually pretty fucking good.
Really?
It tastes like Sprite.
No way.
I'm getting another hit of this to make sure I'm not like having a stroke or something. Hold on. Yeah, it just kind of tastes like Sprite. It's very flat. It's like a flat Sprite. Because everyone on the internet says it tastes like ass.
What the fuck?
It doesn't taste like milk or yogurt.
It doesn't taste like Sprite. It just tastes like, I don't know what it tastes like. It just tastes like.
I feel like it tastes like Sprite. It's not bad, though.
It tastes like the bubbly feeling of Sprite, but it doesn't have the flavor of the Sprite.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very sweet.
Yeah. And sour.
Yeah, I think at the same time. Maybe that's the yogurt part. What?
I feel like I've had this flavor before, or tasted this flavor before on a candy, but I can't pinpoint it.
You know what it probably is?
What?
No, because that's just way sweeter. I was going to say like milk tea and stuff, but.
Oh, yeah, that is a lot sweeter.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were saying that everybody was saying that thing tastes like shit, right?
No, everybody that was like American, but like I've had people who have been living in Japan say it was good. And I have people outside of the United States were saying that it tastes pretty good.
So do you think what do you think it tastes? How is it?
I don't know. It, like Ruben said, it reminds me of something, but I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, now we're going to try these ice creams.
This looks fucking so.
What if this ends up being the worst thing ever?
Oh my God, it probably will be. Why would they make it a fish though? Like I don't look at fish and think dessert. Like that's the problem.
It's Japan, dude.
I guess, but it's very weird. All right, well,
bottoms up.
That's fucking delicious.
Yeah, that's really good.
I just want to try this red the bean paste by itself.
Man, there's chocolate at the bottom.
Oh man, that stuff. The sweetness actually is that red bean.
Really get some of that.
Let me try. Oh man, you're right. That vanilla cream is actually really not that sweet at all. It's that bean. Holy shit!
That's really good.
This is fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Man, all right. So you know what's funny?
What?
The wafer. It's like an ice cream cone. It's like a flat ice cream cone. That's really good. All right. I have to say, pleasantly surprised about the milk tea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I will
buy it on my own,
but I mean, it wasn't bad. It tasted, I don't know if it was good, but definitely wasn't bad. I could drink it.
Yeah.
For the calories and the amount of sugar that's in that shit, it's not worth it, but. This is good, man. There's only 90 calories in one of these little fucking things.
Wait, the ice cream is only 90 calories?
Yep, that one piece is 90 calories.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Is that something you buy on your own?
I'd buy these on my own, yeah. These Taiyaki Japanese frozen wafer sandwich. What does this say? Oh, shit. We should have looked.
What does it say?
It says on the top, a wink on your teriyaki is a sign of good luck.
Oh, I didn't look.
Neither did I. I didn't even see that.
I was so much of a fat ass.
Me too. Oh, man. Let's see. These two didn't have it.
No, I definitely remember. I didn't notice a wink.
Damn. No good luck.
Oh, so you, oh yeah.
You I got my own. I got one over here.
I don't know if you wanted a drink or not.
Oh, that's delicious.
Now, should we break into our other beverages?
Oh yeah, we should. The memories of our childhood. Yep. Now these are not necessarily Japanese.
I don't know whatever, if you but had this as a kid because your mom was very like anti-sugar. Yeah. But this is adult versions of it.
Have you ever had Sunny D?
I loved Sunny D.
All right, well then you're gonna love these because this is Sunny D vodka seltzers, man.
Oh, you can. Since you're driving, but we're gonna be here for a bit, I think you should just stick to one.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty low alcohol volume, and they're also sugar free and gluten free.
Oh, this also reminds me. Apparently, Arizona started selling hard.
Yeah, I know, as well. But they don't sell them in California.
Oh, yeah, that's whack. Okay, so
no, they started selling the Steady Brothers.
Wait, really?
Yeah, there's Arizona alcohol in Steady Brothers right now.
Oh my god!
Do you have your keys to the book?
Let's go.
Yeah, we just saw one in the back room earlier.
All right, so nice. There's four, I guess, regular flavored, and then there's orange pineapple and orange strawberry. So what does everybody want to try?
I'll take a regular.
Regular. What about you, Ruben?
What are the flavors again?
Orange strawberry, orange pineapple, and then the regular like Sunny D flavor, which is tangy orange.
Hmm. I'll give this orange strawberry a try.
Orange strawberry? All right. That's orange strawberry. And then I'm going to try the pineapple one, I guess, just to fucking make it so we each have one of each. All right. Oh, wait. That's not one. That would have pissed me off. All right. Let's give a little hiss here. Oh God damn it, Ruben. Ruben, costing us money immediately by fucking getting it all over the fucking... Yeah, just get it off. That's fine.
Fine. Just don't say any peas to it.
Oh shit, that's good, man. This orange pineapple one.
Yep.
Mmm.
All right.
Delicious.
Oh, the strawberry is really good too.
All right, here, we'll pass them all around. We're just gonna fucking
hold on. Yeah, I'll try yours.
Mmm. God damn, that regular one is delicious.
Mm-hmm. I really like this one.
That's the strawberry one?
The one you had. That's yours.
Give him the regular one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is orange strawberry. Mine's over there.
This is yours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is pineapple.
Yeah, it's mine. This one's pretty good, the strawberry.
I like that one.
It's a little strong on the strawberry, but...
Yeah.
All right.
Review time over. Now for the next review.
Now that we've done and reviewed the food...
So, Josh.
Yeah.
Are you all ready to accept your new Lord and Savior, Bone Daddy?
Bone Daddy? Is that what he's called on the internet?
One of the many things.
Bone Daddy. All right. So, Overlord, season one. So far, I did watch the whole thing. I watched all 13 episodes of season one. And I started getting into season two, but just so everybody knows, the way that probably we're going to end up doing this is we're going to do season one today. And then in another couple episodes from now, we'll do episode two because I'll have finished season two, I mean. And then we're going to do season three and season, you know, we'll do the all seasons. And then hopefully when the movie comes out in English, we're going to go, you know, obviously see the movie. So
you still need to see the other movies too.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll do those too. We'll do the movies as well. The other ones.
All right.
So let me see. Is it still dry? As long as it's not wet on the inside, then you can stick it back in.
That's dry. In and out.
All right, cool. Well, then, yeah, stick it back on.
In and out.
In and out.
That's Whataburger's all about.
Actually, it should be like, that's because Whataburger's a piece of shit.
In comparison.
Yeah, in comparison. Anyways. And
hey, it's better than McDonald's.
I'll fight you on that, okay? I'll fight anybody about that.
Hey, it's better than McDonald's.
True. That's true.
It's on par with Burger King.
Yeah. I think Burger King might actually be a little bit better. But anyways, all right, besides the point, we're here to talk about anime, and we're also here to talk about Overlord season one, right?
Season one.
So how do you want to do this?
I don't know. How do you want to do this? You're the main one to watch this because you're the one that's fresh solid. Me and him have seen the whole thing.
All right. You know what? This is what we'll do. We'll go over and we'll kind of just recap the episodes and then just discuss them, I guess.
Like, kind of like how we did it. Kind of like we did our Hello Boss.
Yeah. All right. So let me find the season one.
I still have to watch that. Damn.
What, you haven't watched Hazmat Hotel?
Yeah, Hazmat Hotel or Hell of a Boss. I keep forgetting to watch those.
Okay. Well, you should, because they're fucking awesome.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you should listen to the Game Rage Movies and TV podcast, where me and Frank talked about season one and season two of Hell of a Boss and season one of Hazmat Hotel.
You should watch them all, because we're going to do an episode where we rank the songs.
Oh, yeah, you should. You should watch them, because then we're going to rank. Yeah, and then you could be on that episode with us. All right. So, Overlord, season one, episode one, end beginning, which I thought was a very fitting title for an episode. And by the way, I would like to just preface again this whole thing with, just so people know, I watched it in English. Okay.
I
ain't reading. All right.
I watched it in English too, because I love the voice actor for Ainz. Is actually some guy that was, what's up?
Yeah, keep going. You're good.
If I remember correctly, he voiced a character. He voiced Cooler, I think, for Team Four Star. Oh. So I started watching it for him, because of him in English. That's why. Huh. Kind of like Edward Bosco from The Unexpectables is the reason why I watched Hazmat Hotel, because he was the voice of Alistair in the pilot.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, episode one kind of starts off with Momonga, Bone Daddy, as he's referred to on the internet.
Well, yeah.
He's sitting in there.
His original name Momon? Or Momongan?
Momonga was his original name, and then he's in charge of Ainz Al Ghul, Ainz Al Goon, or Ainz Ul Gaun. Fuck, how do you say it?
Ainz Ul Gaun.
Ainz Ul Gaun, right? That's how you say it?
Ainz Ul Gaun.
Ainz Ul Gaun. Okay, so that's, he changes his name to the guild, because that's the guild name.
Because he wants everybody, if there are other players, he wants them to be able to recognize his name, because they were the top guild and the most hated guild.
Right, so then he's like, oh shit, if anybody will know. Wait, okay, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So yeah, so that's his original character name is Momonga, and it's a DMMORPG called Yggdrasil, which Yggdrasil... No, it's a dive MMORPG.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They call it, because
a dive massively multiplayer online.
Because they were called VR MMORPGs in SAO.
Yeah, yeah. So now they're just called dive, which I'm assuming. And
did you watch ACO?
ACO, what's her?
Sword Art
Online.
No, I still have to watch that one too. Damn.
Oh man, you should watch it, because it's so good. But
it gets good, and then it gets real bad.
Yeah,
and then it gets really mid.
Really mid.
That's what happened to oh my god, what's the anime? The Seven Deadly Sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was called on Netflix.
It was really good, and then got bad, and then got
really
mid.
Good. Then really good. Then amazingly good. And then what the fuck? And then what the fuck? And then who the hell asked for your son? We don't care.
And then mid.
No, it was never mid.
Never mid. Damn.
There's this character in it called oh my god, Escanor.
Because mm-hmm.
each one of the main characters is a representative of the Deadly Sins.
Okay.
And he's the sin of pride, and this motherfucker is prideful.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the show, their main villains were the demons.
Uh-huh.
And they had the 11 commandments, were their main generals.
Yeah.
I forgot what Escarota's commandment was, but basically, if you harbor hate to someone, it makes you unable to fight. It makes you weak. You just can't get up and fight. And everybody hated this guy because he killed the main character. And literally everyone's like, damn it, I can't avenge him if I can't fight. Like, they're all fucking
crawling. Yeah, yeah.
And fucking Escort just starts walking up to him. It's like, why would I feel hate for someone so much weaker than me?
Oh, damn. Brutal.
He's like the best character. He's the only reason to watch that show.
Yeah.
And literally, spoilers, when he dies, I stopped watching the show.
God damn it, Frank. Now I'm not going to watch the show.
Yeah, you are.
I won't.
Yeah, you will.
I won't.
Big ol' anime titties.
I'm in. I just watched all the episodes.
Not only big ol' anime titties on a regular girl, and I mean a bunch of regular girls.
But on an anime girl.
On anime girls, yeah. But not besides that, but big ol' anime titties on a giant.
That sounds like the greatest thing I may have ever seen or heard of.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, and don't forget the freaking how skinny the one suit is during her rear end.
What?
Oh, don't forget, and also it rides up on her too, so a big ass. Oh,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and she also has a fat ass,
big titties and fat asses. Sounds like it's right up my alley.
And to be even more up your alley, she's in love with a fairy who's about this tall.
Oh, sounds like it's going right up my alley.
I think he's a redhead too.
Oh, he's redhead too. Yeah.
Wow, right up my alley. My alley is going to be so lubricated from fucking watching this show.
But anyway, I'm just saying because I was just all things saying about best character introductions.
Yeah.
And nobody was mentioning him and I was pissed.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. All right. So anyways, back to fucking, what is Bone this Daddy. Called? Overlord. Hell da- Bone Daddy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's called Yggdrasil. And it's, game, it's yeah. all capitalized when they show it. But like they don't ever explain if it's an acronym or like why the fuck it's called Yggdrasil.
Yeah, the game itself is no longer relevant to the story.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is unique in games like DotHack,
yeah.
SAO.
Because you're in the game, whereas
the game is literally the world.
So basically he got transferred into his game character, and the game characters got transferred into a world.
Another world. It's a double Isekai.
Yeah, which makes it not an Isekai because it cancels itself out.
No, because he's still not in his original world.
Yeah, but he's not himself either.
Yeah, he is.
No, so it doesn't count. So it's not an Isekai.
It's still his character.
Yeah, but it's not himself. He's not him. So he's not there. It's just his brain. It doesn't count.
He's trying to find every fucking loophole not to admit that this is an Isekai. Okay,
Ruben, just so you know, I fucking hate Isekai. I hate it. I think there's too many of them, and I think they should fuck off with it, which is why I didn't want to watch this show. But Frank finally broke me down and told me that it's the greatest thing ever, and I need to watch it. So I said, okay, and I watched it. And while it's not the greatest thing ever, it is the best Isekai other than SAO that I've ever seen.
Because you've only seen one.
No, I've seen SAO and its spinoffs and, you know, the slime one. We watched some slime.
Oh, you didn't. You only saw clips.
Okay. I didn't need to watch the whole show because I saw enough clips. But anyway, so that's why we're having this whole thing because I hate Isekai. I hate that concept. I think it's stupid as shit.
He's watched a lot of Isekai that he's not willing to recognize.
Okay, like what?
Digimon?
Doesn't count. I was a kid. Go ahead. Next one. Give me the next one.
SAO?
Okay, I admitted to that one. I admitted and said that I have seen that, and yes, it is definitely an SA or SAO. Yeah, I forgot
there was another one that you were fighting me tooth and nail for.
Oh, well, it's too late now.
Whatever.
We're waiting.
Well, I'll come up with it.
Okay, all right. Anyways, so yes, I hate Isekai, but this one so far is pretty good.
Isekai is that he's being stubborn and refusing to accept that there are good Isekais.
Yeah, because I hate Isekais because I think they're all bad.
That's like saying there's too many cartoons, so I'm not gonna watch Steven Universe. I'm not gonna watch.
But there aren't too many cartoons. There are too many Isekais.
That's like saying the same thing.
When I go on Crunchyroll, and sorry for those of you listening, because I know you probably wanted to hear us talk about Overlord. We'll fucking get to that, okay? But every time I look on fucking Crunchyroll, and it's telling me the new shit, new spring, or whatever season we happen to be in, right? New spring anime, simulcast. Okay. It's every single fucking one of them is a goddamn Isekai.
So do you hate the big three? Because there's just so many goddamn shonens out there.
No, because shonens would be original now because there's too many goddamn isekais.
There is so many more shonens to fucking isekai. It's not even funny.
Yeah, but shonen is a concept that is not as, what's the word I'm looking for? Restrictive.
It's still a fucking genre.
No, isekai is a genre of a subgenre.
How is it a subgenre?
It is not its own fucking genre.
How is it not?
Because it's just fucking not. It's time travel. It's fucking, that's the main genre.
What's that, time travel?
Teleportation.
Where the fuck is time travel coming in?
Okay, if you are going into a different fucking dimension, you are for sure at a different time period. So you are not.
How's that time travel?
It's time travel. It's time travel slash teleportation, whatever. Isekai is, I reincarnate as a slime or I reincarnate as a refrigerator. That's all why right, that fucking so then, anime okay, that we then, were going to do.
Then say, if you hate Isekais, then say you hate SAO.
I don't hate SAO.
Say you hate Gate.
We didn't finish it.
Say you hate Gate.
I can't say that because we didn't finish it. I can't also say that we like
you
it.
You didn't finish fucking Overlord. You didn't finish SAO.
I finished SAO.
No, yeah, yeah.
I finished Sword Art Online.
You did not finish the Alcatrazian, whatever.
Alicization?
Yes.
I don't need to because I saw the entire story play out of Kirito and all that shit in the beginning, and that was it. That's all I need to see. The first two or three seasons.
So you didn't watch it? Yeah, you can say you love it.
I love that, yes.
So you can't say. So then say.
Say what?
You hate Gate.
I'm not going to say I hate Gate because I don't know if I hate it or if I love it.
But you didn't finish SAO, but you know you love it.
I finished what it was meant to be, which was that original storyline. All the other shit was just extra.
So then, because it's extra, then would you hate it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
Gun Gale Online?
I watched that, and I thought that was fine. It had guns. I like guns.
What was the name of the other one? The one with the pink girl.
I don't remember. But anyways, wasn't that Gun Gale?
Gun Gale Online was the second season of SAO when they go to the gun world. The other one I'm trying to fucking remember is with the girl who wears nothing but pink. And she fights with a P90 that she calls P90 Chan.
P90 Chan. Oh, P90 Chan.
Anyway.
All right. Anyway,
actually, going back on the whole freaking him, you saying time travel and going other words like Isekai or just whatever that, then does that mean the entire Trunk saga in Dragon Ball Super is an Isekai? Since they travel in time to another universe to fight a person who's in another Goku's body?
Yes, that would be an Isekai. However, the anime itself was not, that wasn't the concept of the whole fucking anime. That was a storyline. So that's not an Isekai.
You hate that storyline?
No, because it's not an Isekai.
But it's a main part of the
it's not super. But yeah, okay, it's just a story element, but it's not the main focus of the story.
It was for Z when because that's what changed
Vegeta. An Isekai done with characters that we know and love is probably going to be great, but an Isekai done with, oh, I got reincarnated as a slime, oh, here I came back as a traffic cone,
you keep talking shit on
here
slime,
I came back as a fucking I fucking hate that show.
You haven't seen it to hate
I know
it.
And I hate it.
You haven't seen it
I to hate it. It I hate the concept.
It's literally the next one you're gonna watch after Overlord. Oh,
fuck, I hate Isekai. I don't want to no, watch that show.
You're gonna watch it and you're gonna love it, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Shion,
have you seen it?
Shion, her tits are bigger than this fucking table.
That's some big tits.
And her favorite thing is to hold the slime like this, and every time he moves,
oh, flappity flapping in the wind. Yeah. Okay, fine. Whatever. Maybe I'll watch that one.
And it has some sick ass combat.
And I do like sick ass combat.
And you know all the shit. You know all the shit that Iron Zogu was doing. All the mind games he's playing.
Yeah.
It's on overdrive because it's him being like, oh, cool, I'm a cute little slime and blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, while you were having this cute conversation with me, I took over your country.
Okay, here's the deal. I will never admit that I like Isekai. I may like Isekai things, but I don't like Isekai as a genre.
So
these things are the exceptions to the rule.
Does that mean you will always love professional wrestling, but hate anything that spits... that isn't exactly professional wrestling?
No, I can love professional wrestling, but hate certain things that are in professional wrestling. Love WWE, but hate all other professional wrestling.
But you don't.
But I could.
But that's my point. Is what I'm saying is...
That's how this is with Isekai. I hate
WWE,
Isekai.
You love WWE, right?
Sure, yeah. I love professional wrestling.
Okay. And you've been on record on this.
Mm-hmm.
But do you like a six-sided ring?
I don't. I think it's fucking stupid.
So,
that doesn't mean I hate.
No universe, are you ever going to join a product that has a six-sided ring?
I would never do it.
Okay. So then, do you like Lucha Libre?
I do like Lucha Libre.
Midget wrestling.
I love midget wrestling.
Now, I'm not talking about midget wrestling done through Mexican wrestling where they actually repeat it. I'm talking about Vince McMahon. I hate short people and they're here for a joke wrestling.
Sometimes that's funny. I have to be honest.
But not fucked up.
I'm not saying it's not fucked up. I'm just saying sometimes it is funny.
So you're okay with it?
Sure.
Because it makes you laugh. It's okay.
Absolutely.
So when something makes you laugh in an Isekai, it's not okay.
No, it's okay. I'm okay with that. But I still hate Isekai. Listen, things that I hate can also be funny. Like, for example, like if I hated Chappelle's show, let's say, and then, which is not true, but let's say I did.
The Russian government military.
That's a pretty funny joke.
You hate or love it?
I hate it, but I can like certain things that are inside of it.
That's what I'm saying. So you hate Russian things when it comes to the military and the government?
Sure. Not all things, though.
But you will get the hardest of ons for an AK-47.
Yeah. And that's totally acceptable. You're proving my point, Frank. You're proving my point. That's okay to hate things, but also like there's exceptions to the rule.
Okay, but if you're willing, if you're saying there's exceptions to the rule for your hate, so why is it that you can't give any Isekai's a chance?
Because I am stubborn and I am an asshole. So I don't like to do those things.
It's like you admit that there are things in Isekai you like,
yeah,
but you won't give Isekai a chance for you to like it.
Correct.
You're just a hypocrite.
I never said I wasn't, for the record.
That is true.
Okay, all right, back to Bone Daddy. Okay, so anyways, so they're in this fucking RPG. It's Hold closing.
On. Sorry.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
I'm just enjoying watching the bickering.
It's not bickering. How dare you?
It's Son bickering.
Of a bitch. Anyways.
Everybody says we bicker like a married couple.
I mean, well, we basically have been married for over 20 years, so.
Yeah, really. We never lived together.
I mean, we might as well have.
What, the most time we've ever spent together was a week? And that was because of, no, it wasn't even a week. It was like 3 days. That was mini boot camp.
No, we've been to Vegas and we've gone, we went to Vegas for like a week.
We went to Vegas for about 4 days.
5 days?
No, we came back on the fifth day.
Whatever.
Jesus Christ, we do argue for everything.
whatever. Anyways, so.
In this first episode.
Bone Daddy.
In this first episode, he's lamenting because the game Yggdrasil is shutting down. Kind of like Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
And so he spent...
After 12 years. They spent 12 fucking years, man. Like he says, taking time off from work just to grind in the game, dude. Like, that's fucking dedication. And then that going away, that would be sad as fuck, man. Like,
not only that, but then everybody in the guild just left.
Yeah, like he was the only one... left, basically. And then one other dude.
But he just came there to say bye to him.
Right. Yeah, that was all he did, was just came to say bye. So he logged back in once. So he wanted to be there when the servers turned off. Kind of like when they shut off the Halo 3 servers and there were guys that were still in there. And there was some glitch where, like, they couldn't shut it down.
Because there were players active.
Because there was an active player. So there was one guy that ended up staying in there for, like, 4 months. Left his Xbox on. Yeah, I think it was like a long time.
I think it was only hours, like, because they forced him to log out.
I don't think so, man.
Anyways,
go ahead. So he's in there right as the time is clicking down.
He's playing around with the NPCs that they all created.
Yeah.
And then rewrite some things for Albedo.
Yeah, Albedo, which is one of their, she's like the chief of their protection.
Going back to the last joke of our Trump joke that we made last 2 weeks ago.
With the biggest of the anime titties, which I would like to say, we use that as the clip, mm-hmm. And TikTok censored us.
Yeah, I figured.
TikTok muted the audio because it said it detected sexual harassment. And I was like, so I filed a thing saying, like, what is sexually harassing about this? And they responded with, I think it was the Trump impersonation. So, because it's like, anything that Trump says is considered sexual harassment, apparently. So,
I mean,
right. So I guess they just were like, nah, you can't do that. And so I was like, whatever. Every other social media platform didn't give a shit.
Oh, well, the Chinese government doesn't believe in free speech. Who would have known?
Bullshit. They say that that's bullshit. But anyways, go ahead.
So he changes the personality. Sorry, he adds a personality trait to Albedo.
Here, you want another one?
I'm still drinking. All
right. Try a tangy orange. You're going to drive him home. Just FYI. Good. Just FYI, Ruben. You all right?
Yeah. Damn. We're just choking on some bullshit.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, so he changes Albedo's settings to be madly in love with Momonga as a joke. Like, he's just fucking around.
Which is a theory that I want to bring up.
Okay.
But I can only bring it up with Ruben. Mm. So I might bring it up later.
Okay.
But fuck it. I don't care if he's find out. Yeah. Do you remember in season 3 when he went on that revenge trip?
Revenge trip for...
Because they kidnapped that one girl?
Oh, it's been a while since I've seen it. It was that blonde girl. No.
Yeah, the one that Sebas was protecting.
Yeah, the butler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that Albedo got mad at him for doing that? For like a split of a second. That she thought that was a weak thing for him to do. There's a theory saying that because he put in the thing that she is madly in love with Momoma. But he changed his name to Aizong Ghoul.
Oh.
So is it that she's not going to be in love with him anymore?
I would say no, because then that would have been from the beginning. Because when he changed his name right at the beginning.
It's slowly happening.
Oh, maybe. Is there another one that's going to come in named Momonga?
Doubt it, but I don't know. That's just an interesting theory. Home-cooked Mexican food.
That's so good, man. Shout out to Ruben's mom.
My sister.
Frank's sister for hooking it up.
Yeah, technically your sister now, too.
Technically, but man, these burritos are delicious.
We're not even hungry.
I know. We ate fucking pizza before this, and I'm not even hungry, and I can't stop eating these. So, anyways, back to, so the server shuts down, and he's like, what the fuck, I'm still here. So he's trying to figure out, like, what's going on.
And none of the game functions are working.
None of the game functions work.
And then the scariest of all, the NPC starts talking.
Yeah, and he's like, what the fuck is happening? So he basically is like, dude, I need to fucking figure out, like, what is going on.
And worst of all, he has no dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has no dick. She's madly in love with him and wants to just service him at all times. And he has no dick, which that sucks.
Not just her. There are other fucking baddies that want his dick.
That's true.
And not so much baddies, but.
Anyway, so basically in this first episode, he's just basically trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. So he says, all right, I need to figure out how shit works here in this, wherever the fuck we are, and go from there.
Yeah, because they're not in the world of Idris, though.
Right. He figures that out. So then he calls all the floor guardians to meet him in the arena. And that's basically where he moves into the next episode.
Well, before that, we get introduced to the two worst tropes. Two of the worst tropes in anime combined into one. Fucking lolis. And I want to say it's a bad thing, but something that makes me very uncomfortable. You know, it's funny. I've had other animes do this and didn't make me uncomfortable. It just made me uncomfortable with these ones.
Mm.
Is the whole cross-dressing.
Oh.
With Aura and
with the two the twins or whatever they are?
The two dark elves.
Yeah, it was Aura and
what's the other one's name?
Whatever.
Aura Bella Fiora and Mare Bella Fiora.
There we go.
Yeah, so the boy wears a skirt and the girl wears pants. Wears
pants, yeah.
Which normally wouldn't piss me off, but it pisses me off because they're fucking lolis.
Well, that and they look identical, so it's also hard. I also get confused as to who the fuck is who.
That's why the skirt and the pants is what helps you.
And the fact that they're all elves, which means they probably like much more ordered than they actually look. Mm-hmm. Is just
well, that's the same thing with what's her name, the other loli who's in love with him.
The vampire.
She's a vampire, so she's okay. Yeah, that's how you justify it. Is like, oh, she's 1,000 years old, but she's like looks 12. Like,
it's just a whole mess.
Yeah, I also didn't like that. But I was like, okay, great. His other love interest is a loli.
But you know what the worst part is?
What?
As you probably can now agree to,
They
actually might be some of the best characters in the show.
Oh, yeah. Like, towards the end of the season, when she has that issue, well, we'll talk about it, when she gets fucking...
Those three are probably some of the best... No, that's not right, because Kokaitis is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah. Man, I fucking love that dude. The character development that he has in season two, well, we're not there yet, but...
And then, even though he doesn't have character development, I just love this guy, too, is... oh, my God, what can I remember his name? The... Demiurge.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or the demon, right?
The demon one, yeah.
I like him a lot too, but I think out of the floor guardians, Kokaitis.
No, not Kokaitis.
Kokaitis.
Kokaitis. There we go.
Yeah. Is my favorite character.
Yeah. So basically, you kind of get them in these first two episodes. You kind of get to just meet all the floor guardians, basically. Yeah, go for it. You get to meet them and then you kind of see a little bit about what they're about. Not really. You start to get the sense of what their designations are, of like their specialties and stuff. And then you get to see, okay, how they made this, the floor guardians, right? So it's like the first floor through the, what is there, nine?
No, there's like, eight. There's hundreds.
Oh, so they're like the bosses.
These are,
close the door. Oh, all right.
The floor guardians that we saw.
Wait, these are monkey, by the way. So you want to put in the freezer?
Let's just eat it. Just eat the other one. There's only one left.
Okay.
So the floor guardians we see are the strongest ones. Because the other ones still had duties to run that. What they do, not only do they protect the floor, their floor, but they also have duties that to run. What's the name of their temple thing?
The Nazarick.
Nazarick. Oh.
Yeah. So those 13 that we saw were the ones that were not only the strongest, but the ones that could.
They're like the command staff as well, right? Yeah. For lack of a better They're like the generals.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we get to kind of meet them all and see who's what's going on. And then essentially we get to see that happen. And he's just kind of trying to survey and learn about the world around him. So his and that's kind of like the first two episodes. And then when we get into episode three, the Battle of Karn Village, that's when what's his name? Bone Daddy fucking. When does he change his name? It's after this, right?
It's the second episode.
It's the second episode. So he changes his name. Episode. Okay, yeah. So he changes his name and from Mamonga to Ein Zal Goon, which is the name of the guild, because that's the specific purpose of why he wants to do that. So that if anyone else fucking, because he realizes the Temple of Nazarick has been transported somewhere. They don't know where exactly, but they know that it's been transferred to another something. And so now he's figuring out that certain things from the game are transferring over into this world.
Yeah.
And so he wants to go start doing reconnaissance out and find out, okay, what the fuck is out there? So that's kind of episode three. He finds they uses this magical mirror that he has to kind of like, it's like a drone mirror, some shit, like you can see shit. And so basically he uses it to see that there's this village that's under attack. And it's these knights from someplace. We don't know where they're from at first. So then he just kind of says whatever. But then one of his guildmates called Touch Me, which, like, what a great fucking gamer tag. Touch Me. I imagine that's, like, one of the most powerful guild members is, like, you can't. They're, like, they're probably, like, super speed, right? That's probably, like, what they're. Specialty is like they're the fast one. So it's like either that or they're super high defense, so it's like, oh, go ahead and touch me, you're not gonna do anything. Like, I figure that's why they were called. But so then he decides, ah man, I owe a debt to this one person for something, so I'm gonna go ahead and try to save this village.
Yeah, just like live in his what was the word I'm looking for, in his ideal, like, give his ideals a chance.
He's the definition of a noble knight,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And the people he created, because each one of them created one of the four guardians, mm-hmm. and then each one of them also created a maid or a servant.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, another thing too is that when he went into that world, all for some reason the four guardians have memories of all the players that
right. Yeah, well. They have memories of all their creators or whatever, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. But I was saying, this guy Touch Me made two. Well, I don't know how many they each made, but the two I know off the top of my head. Is he made Sebas, that butler.
Yeah.
And he also made Cocytus.
Right.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think it was Touch Me. Yeah, he made Cocytus.
And they both share in his sense of honor and duty.
Yeah. Cocytus especially. I mean, both of them really do especially, but Cocytus really takes the warrior part of that, you know, super seriously.
Yeah, especially in that lizard folk scene.
Yeah, that's in season two. We'll get to that eventually. But so then basically he goes there and he sees that this battle is happening. So he says, fuck it, I'm just going to get involved. So he gets involved and that's when you start to see like a little battle happen. And then that's when he meets. What's the name of the fucking those dickheads? The Sane? Is it the Sane? Slain, the scripture of the slain, is that what it's called?
Sorry, I was mistaken.
The slain theocracy, is that what it's called?
Yeah, slain theocracy.
God, I've been so long.
Touch Me didn't make Cocytus. That was Warrior Take Michikachi.
He's Take Michikachi, other known as Touch Me.
Remember in the fight in the end when he fights, I can't remember the vampire chick's name.
Shaltir, yeah.
Remember he, and then he
Shaltir Bloodfallen.
Yeah,
what a great fucking name, man. What a great fucking name.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
remember when he's switching between all the weapons of his?
That one was the.
Yeah, that was the sword of warrior.
All of their super weapons. Yeah.
They only showed him. I don't think they've shown them in the anime, but they mentioned him.
Yeah,
but that was the sword that I think cut her arm off or whatever.
Yeah, so then basically we get into, you know, episode four with this is where you get introduced to this slain theocracy, these dickheads, right?
That's and that's the religion.
Yeah, that's like they're the religious cult. That's one of the factions because there are in addition to surveilling and finding out what's fucking around them, they need to figure out, okay, what factions exist, or are there any? Like, what's going on? So he's basically finds out about these guys, and this guy Gazif, is that his name? Yeah. Gazif?
Gazif.
Yeah, he's a knight.
He's also a really great character.
He is a good character. What the fuck country? What the fuck was he from? Did they say? No. They even say where he's from?
I keep wanting to say the Kingdom of Belmuth, but that's slime.
I know he's from some other kingdom, right? Yeah. He's like a general in some fucking army. And so basically the slain theocracy wants to kill his ass. So
can you imagine, man? He'd be such a great warrior. That entire nation
just
comes up with a plan just to fucking kill you.
Just to kill you, yeah. So basically
Estes Kingdom, that's what it was called.
The Estes Kingdom?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So
they become a huge part of the story in
later on
season 3 and 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So basically Gazif is trying to convince Ein Zhao Goon to fucking like help him. And so he's like, nah, I'm all right. Like, I'm straight. Don't worry about it. You got this. So he gives him this fucking like thing and says, you know, it's a token of my of you know, your good warriorship and all this stuff. I'm gonna give you this thing. So he gives him this little fucking token
totem,
thing.
Yeah.
Totem. And basically it just turns out that all it was so that he could fucking transport, like switch places with him.
Switch places with him, yeah.
Like immediately. It was like some magical item that he had.
There's a Overlord of Bridge series done by a group called the Numbskulls.
Uh-huh.
When it happened.
Yeah.
The guy says, oh yeah, it was a switch thing. Lord Ein's one, or what was his cover name in this one?
Yeah, he went by Ein Zhao Goon at this point.
No, but I'm saying, because he used to go by Momon as the warrior, but I'm sorry.
That's later on. That's in the next episode, I think, or after.
And he tells him, oh yeah, Lord Ein wanted me to tell you that. How did it feel to get pwned like a punch-ass bitch? He goes, oh, that guy. And then it disappeared. And he passes out. He's passed out. Quick, grab his shoes.
Yeah. Fuck. What was that?
I don't know.
Was it just a chair?
Was that an invasion?
Is that an invasion?
I think the chair got caught.
Oh, all right. So anyways, basically he switches with them, and then a fucking, what's his name? The guy who's that Negan, Grit, what's his name? Luin, the guy who's in charge of the fucking theocracy, the slain theocracy guys. He fucking does some seventh tier fucking magic on him and has this power, this like the super powerful angel thing that comes down. It's, and basically he just fucking Ein Zhao Goon just laughs at him. And he's just
I thought you were a threat.
Yeah, I thought you were a threat. And then he just fucking wipes them out. Like, just fucking fucking destroys them. And so then he basically goes back, and then he tells everyone he wants to spread his new name around, Ein Zhao Goon, and he wants everybody, you know, that's when he wants to have this shit happen. So then after this encounter, that's when we get into the next kind of story arc where he needs to really go out and find out how this world works. So he wants to hide his appearance, and he puts on this armor.
But what do you think about that, too? The fact that even though he's a spellcaster type.
Yeah.
But because he's max level, his strength is still high enough to be fighting.
Yeah, he's so powerful that he could basically be any fucking class he wants. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. So
that because he leveled up his strength. Because when you level up,
you just level up everything.
All your stats just, because you can choose to level up the stats that you choose.
Yeah.
But naturally, the other stats also go up
right
while you level up.
Yeah, yeah.
So just by the token points of his strength going up, just because he leveled up, was more than enough to put him over the majority of people in this world.
Right, yeah. So this is where he goes and he takes
Narmer. I just love how he just goes with freaking dual greatswords.
Yeah.
Dual greatswords, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, man.
just a freaking complete opposite.
Two-handed fighting with greatswords, man. That's like unheard of.
That's like the peak of strength build.
Oh, yeah.
And this motherfucker who's an ant build does it.
Yeah, yeah. And so then he takes Narbriel, which is one of the battle maids. And so they decide to go take, he takes on the name of Momon, and then he tells her she will go by Nabe. And so that's their like quote unquote human name. So they can join the local adventurers guild in the city of Irantel.
Irantel.
And so, they basically go out and Nabe can't keep her fucking mouth shut. Like, she is the worst person he could have fucking taken because she just gets so pissed because her devotion to him is so great, so that anytime someone says some shit to him, how dare you insult the ruler of Nazareth? And he's like, bitch, slow your roll.
Hey, bitch, appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, shut the fuck up.
But shut the fuck up. We're undercover here, all right? You can't be fucking going around blowing our shit up. So basically, they meet up with these guys, this other
adventuring group,
and the fucking... This one dude wants to get with Nabe like so hard. He tries so fucking hard. And she basically looks at him and she's like, Master Momon, can I kill this man now? And then he's like, no, let's not do that. And she's like, shame. And then he goes, oh man, a woman's so powerful. I just want to. And he just falls deeply in love with her. So then they find out about there's essentially this like necromancer and some fucking I forget what the guy's the name is, but that girl, the female assassin chick,
Clementine.
Yeah. Clementine. That's when we get introduced to her right at the end of this episode.
Man, and fuck that bitch.
Yeah, I agree, man. Fuck that bitch. And so
yeah,
eventually she gets what's coming to her here in the next few episodes.
It's funny, like a lot of the fucking simps love that bitch.
That's because they're
like,
simps.
I'm like, bitch, I'm like, dumbass. If you got with this chick, you'd be dead.
Yeah, she would just kill you. She's the definition of one of those Black Widow types of individuals where she would probably bone you and then immediately kill you afterwards.
I don't even think she'll bone you.
She'll just kill you just for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
She'll kill you and then in your death boner, she'll get off that way.
Yeah.
So then they all go on this mission where they get hired by Nefria. And is that the guy's name?
Oh, the
Nefria, the potion guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right. Nefria, is that his name? I think so. So then basically they hire him, or they want to hire just him because he's like the biggest dude. And he's like, oh, well, how about you take, I already promised to go with these guys. You
know what that tastes like?
What?
It tastes like fucking, you ever get the feeling when you want to throw up and you feel nausea? That's what that tastes like. It tastes like nausea,
but it's good.
Yeah,
but it's like good nausea.
Like it feels like the bile when you're about to throw up.
Yeah,
that doesn't taste like that. It feels like that because I drank it. I felt like I was getting sick, but then I'm like, no, it tastes good.
Yeah, we're talking about that milk fucking soda.
Kind of, yeah.
Milk and yogurt flavored soda. Jesus Christ. Anyways,
we should try those other like purposely bad ones, like the bacon flavor.
Oh yeah, yeah. One. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then that's when they have this whole mission where they go with this guy so he can get stuff. And basically, everybody runs away once Beaumont starts cutting down all the gogers and all the orcs and shit or whatever the fuck they are, goblins. And so then they're eating dinner with these guys. And I remember they're trying to ask him fucking questions and he doesn't want to answer them because he's like, fuck, I don't have anything to say. But yeah, she keeps giving shit away. So he's like, no. And they're like, hey, how come you don't take off your helmet when you eat? And he's like,
warrior's promise.
Yeah. He's like, I don't. He's like, what did he say? He says, oh, I don't kill anyone. I don't eat with it. I don't eat the same day I kill people or some shit like that. Is like
his religion.
Yeah. It's like his religious. So like, oh, so then he's like, I will retire over here now. So then like he just moves away. And it was pretty fucking funny. So then after that, that's when they find out about the old wise king of the forest, right? They're fucking told that this wise king exists. And so he's like, fuck yeah, we got to go do this. So they go there and they find the wise king of the forest, which what the fuck is his name? Whiskers or something. What's it called? Yeah, really.
This is like a really weird, cute name.
Oh, Hamsuke.
Hamsuke, yeah.
King Hamsuke, because he's a fucking hamster. It's a giant hamster.
With a snake tail or what?
Yeah, or some shit like that.
Like an armadillo scoot tail. Or
yeah, which he also remembers that one of the guildmates had a hamster like this in real life. So he's kind of like, this is interesting.
I don't know if it was in this season, but did you ever see the season where they were talking about the, what are they called again? The Supreme Beings is what we call the player characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they were talking about that one of them was a voice actor's.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like, and the other one, because they were brother and sisters.
Yeah.
And the brother's like, man, she's in this game too. He goes, what's the big deal?
Oh, I'm trying to jack off to this fucking game.
I'm trying to get into it. And then I can't hear my sister's voice. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Dude, that would fucking totally ruin it, man.
Right?
That would fucking totally ruin it.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What if you're fucking and you're sitting there, you're like, oh, I'm going to play this fucking hentai game. And all of a sudden you're jerking off and you just see your sister, one of your sisters come on. And you're like, wait, is that?
No, stop. Or you can be the other 38% of America. Oh, I'm into this even better.
Anyone's going to have sex with my sister, it's going to be me.
Yeah, all three of us have sisters.
Yeah, I know. Weird. Strange. We only have sisters. None of us have brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jose.
It's not a brother. It's his cousin.
It might as well be. It's if me and you were cousins,
yeah,
we would fully be on brothers.
We're not even blood related and we're fully beyond brothers at this point.
That's what I'm saying. That would actually solidify if we were cousins.
Well, anyway.
Plus, he also has that. Plus, there's that forgotten child that we don't talk about.
That's true. The forgotten child.
Nah, you don't have one. I'm joking.
Ruben is the forgotten child.
I do, but you don't.
Ruben is the forgotten child. It's okay, Ruben. I know. I'm as a fellow forgotten child.
You're really Ruben too. The first one failed. Yeah,
the first one failed, and we had to restart. We had to rebuild him. Mm-hmm. We said we will make him stronger, he faster, smarter. And then we
gave up half, but instead I was built stupider.
Yeah, instead we made you like, he's a little better than the old one.
It was like the episode of Family Guy when they're making fun of the $6 million man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We can make him bigger, better, whatever. Yeah, but I don't want to spend the money. And then the next thing, he has a trash can for a leg, a broom for an arm.
Yeah. It's like the $37 man.
Yeah. Or when they did the Mexican.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The $6 million Mexican. Like, he goes, okay, man, so what are my powers? Oh, it's really weird. You're really good at painting my house before next week's meeting.
Yeah. So basically, after this mission that they find out is like, it's just nothing. So he makes the king like his pet. He makes Hamsuke like his pet, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mount or whatever. And so then.
Because he had to register with the guild.
Yeah, too. He has to register with the guild. So then they're like, all right, guys, we got to go because we got to go register.
The whole point of teaming him was so he can get recognition and get promoted because he's trying to get up the ranks fast.
Yeah, because he's trying to become like what is the top tier?
I think it's platinum.
Platinum? Yeah.
And no, I think it might have been adamantite.
Because he wants to make money. I think it's adamantite or something like that.
Yeah, it was adamantite.
Because he wants to make money. Because he was like, okay, our money is worthless here.
Yeah.
So he's like, we need to make money.
No, it had value in the sense that it was gold.
Right.
But it would raise more questions.
Yeah.
Than help. So
that's why he was saying it's worthless for us to use.
So the whole point of that was hopefully that would help him go up the ranks and get him more worldwide recognition.
Yeah.
But because he's just a fucking pathetic looking thing, nobody believes that it's the ruler of the era.
Yeah. So then,
if anything, they actually ruined his street cred.
Yeah, basically. That's when you meet Clementine at the end of this episode, when she fucking basically shows up at the end. And that's where in the episode 8, Twin Swords of Slashing Death, as it's called, which is a great name for a fucking episode, which it describes her precisely. This is when the Swords of Darkness are going to try to buy time. They're his buddies for...
Dude, what a fucking edgelord name for a fucking D&D group.
The fucking Swords of Darkness?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a super edgelord name.
And then put more information on how fucking horrifying this girl is. Her entire armor is made out of the emblems of the ranked adventurers.
Yeah, it's their little fucking name tags with their rank on it, or the rank tags. Oh my God. I will say that was cool, man. Yeah. That was cool. I was like... Oh, this is a bad bitch right here. I was like, she's going to kill everybody. There's no fucking way. She has all the different fucking levels and shit. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
And like, I don't know, man. I have mixed feelings about her fucking voice actress. Because when she does that little like, you're a cheeky little fuck. I really like those cheeky fucks. Like when she goes into it, like her dark, I don't know. I like it and don't like it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Something about her voice. Like sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
So you said you were watching the English one, you said?
Yeah.
I think... probably the Japanese one would have been better for her.
Yeah. I had to see the Japanese version.
Yeah, yeah. And so basically she kills all their buddies. Like she basically kills, I think, all of them, right?
She kills the majority of them and then tortures the girl.
That's right.
And you find out it's a girl, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then kills her.
Then kills her, yeah.
And then to add insult to injury, fucking the necromancer puts a spell to resurrect as a trap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, no, I have to kill my teammates. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So basically, that's when Aynes Al Goon gets fucking pissed.
Just call him Lord Aynes.
Lord Aynes. Yeah, there you go. That's right. Just call him Aynes. So,
Bone Daddy.
He basically runs over there to try to like help him out. And then he figures out that there's like a bunch of undead or some shit there. And he murders like all of them. And that's when they're like, oh, wow, he's only a copper plate. And he's just fucking, he's killing everybody like this. Huh, that's interesting. So then they get in there and they go to Khajiit. What's that guy's name? Khajiit or some shit. Khajiit, the wizard guy. With the dragons, the dude with the dragons, remember?
Oh, the necromancer.
Yeah, the old guy.
Yeah, I don't remember his name because he's so irrelevant.
Yeah, basically he is.
The only reason Clementine is memorable is because she's a crazy bitch.
Yeah, that's true, dude. When okay, so then that's when this whole fight kind of starts. Mm-hmm. So, Aynes tells fucking Nabe, "Hey, you need to deal with this fucking guy, and I'm gonna go fucking fight this bitch Clementine." So that's kind of where that episode kind of sort of, you know, ends. And then you get the next one, the Dark Warrior, which is mainly, it's a back and forth fight between Nabe and that necromancer.
His name is Khajiit. It's literally
Khajiit something, right?
Just say the Skyrim cat name. Khajiit.
Khajiit? Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. That's what we'll call him. So it's Nabe versus Khajiit.
Khajiit as in the cat people, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Just say, yeah,
Skyrim. Yeah. So it's Nabe versus
Elder Scrolls. Sorry.
Not just Skyrim. So Nabe versus Khajiit. And then we got Aynes versus fucking Clementine. And so the battle was pretty fucking cool on both, you know, ends. It was cool to see this dude summon those dragons, and then you thought, oh shit, like, what's her name's gonna have a hard time?
Means of magic and shit.
But then it just turns out that she just goes full fucking Super Saiyan on his ass and turns into her actual battle maid form.
Yeah, because then you find out, oh no, the dragons aren't immune to magic. They're just resistant to magic up to 7th tier.
Yeah.
I got
below 12th, yeah, below 7th tier.
Yeah.
I got 12th tier. Goes, but that's reserved for the gods. You're pathetic.
You're pathetic, yeah. And so basically she fucking
The battle maids are literally the weakest of Nazarick.
Which is crazy because they're god level in this world. Yeah. So that means they're like unstoppable. No,
they're not the weakest. Remember, there's still like those random little dungeon bosses, like that freaking Cockroach King dude,
or that. No, I was making. They're the weakest of the named characters.
Oh, named characters. Okay, then yeah, that's.
Because remember, he even said it that they were just made as a joke, not joke, but because they were bored. Because this guild was so strong, they were bored with. They were getting bored with the game, so they made like characters.
Yeah.
To have fun with.
Yeah. Okay.
They were supposed to be. They're supposed to be the last line of defense. If you were to raid the temple,
right,
Nazarick, but in reality, they're just cannon fodders.
They're just super strong cannon fodder.
They didn't even say that. He just said they're they just saw them on the same level as the other NPCs. They didn't see, they're not elevated, so they're way. The only ones they ever seen like to care about were the floor guardians.
Yeah,
because they spent time and effort creating those.
Right,
or the battle maids and all that were just. They were literally made of fat material.
Right,
that's literally what if you look up the Wikipedia and the manga,
uh-huh.
they were literally made as fat material. Fat.
That's like to jerk off to?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, especially given with one of those freaking
Because like
a fucking dog.
Dude, yeah, that is weird. Somebody was a fucking furry in that guild. Which I guess makes sense because people who would be dedicated like that to a game, some of them probably are furries.
Oh, just an undead dog, remember, because it's all stitches.
That's true.
And then there's the freaking
tomato, tomato.
Then there's the freaking insect lady.
The torturer?
Yeah, the one.
The one that eats those adventurers, right?
Yeah.
Did you get there yet?
No. Okay, I don't think so.
It's a great. No, I'm talking about the torture. Like, when she was like, the guy who made her had just gone through, had a UTI.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted a character to inflict that kind of punishment to people. And literally a scene where she's going to torture this guy and goes, and she has like this fucking insect that's just wiggling around.
And it goes up his dick hole?
He goes, oh yeah. He goes, I specialize in the urethra or whatever, like talking about putting things up there and shit. I'm like,
Oh, that's terrible.
That was a centipede, right?
My urethra just fucking itches now because of that. Like, I feel like there's something crawling in there, man.
Inside
yeah,
your dick, huh?
I don't like that. I don't like this. I want to go home now. Oh, wait. We're doing this at my house. Fuck. Nowhere safe.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so then the battle was fucking cool as shit. Ein Zhao Gun fucking what? What?
What we just said.
Oh, about that?
Yeah, Mark.
Oh, what time was
possibility.
It? Yeah, I'll put that in there. Hour and five. All right.
Shit, it's already been an hour?
Yeah, man. We have time flies when you're having fun.
We've been talking way too much about fucking... Yeah. We only talked about for Overlord for about 20 minutes.
I think we did it for a little longer than that so far. But anyways, so...
Don't excuse me.
We get into the... yeah, back to the battle. So then, essentially, the battle between... Ein's and fucking Clementine is cool because she... What flavor do you want?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, you didn't like the strawberry one?
Yeah, I like the strawberry one. Is that what you're giving
me? No. I took the other one.
Do you have the other one?
Oh, you want pineapple?
Yeah. Okay, I did the tangy orange.
There. So then basically... He goes in and he's a spellcaster, so she's like a fighter. So she's just trying to fucking do shit to him.
This is something that's really fucking cool. Sorry, I didn't make a joke.
Yeah, no good.
We're seeing Yggdrasil's magic and combat system in Lord Ein's and Bone Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're seeing this world's combat system in Clementine.
Right.
Because from what we saw in the other fight, their magic system works pretty much the same.
Because
now everybody's like, oh, okay, this is his spells. And like, she's not surprised by it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we're seeing her with the warrior. She has enhancement skills.
Right, yeah.
Which is something that's not in Yggdrasil.
Yeah.
Where she's doing like, oh, speed boost one, speed boost two, flight of the feather or some shit. Like, giving herself her stat boost.
Yeah.
So he was saying, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Pointless,
but interesting. So then he basically changes. He has this spell that lets him change his class or whatever.
Not a spell. It was an item.
Or an item, right? I thought it was a spell.
No, he never changed his class until the final episode.
Mm.
In this, he was just relying on his skills. His stats being so much higher just because he's max level.
Yeah, that's right. So then anyways... So she's like stabbing him in the face and like nothing's happening.
No, I don't think it was that because if I remember earlier, he was able to wield any weapons that were not related to his class. So he used a certain item to
trick this. That was him at the end.
That was when he fought, what's her name?
Using the legendary weapons of his companions. In this aspect, he couldn't bring out the skills of the weapons.
Oh, yes, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
And because he was wearing armor... He couldn't use his spells.
Right,
That's one of the drawbacks of being a spellcaster. You can't wear armor. That was just an RPG's trope.
Yeah.
So then he basically fucking crushes this bitch, dude. Like, literally crushes her.
Fucking...
But not right before he lets her stab him in both of his eyes.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of times. And then he's just like, that does nothing.
Because he wanted to learn how they fight in this world.
Yeah.
She was nothing but information for him.
Yeah.
And like, fuck, it's fucking cold. But I love that scene where he's like, oh no, I'm not here to avenge them. If I was in your shoes, I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is they were tools for me.
And now you took away them. Yeah.
You took away my tools. Now we got a problem.
Yeah. Now I gotta use what I was going to learn from them from you, bitch.
Yeah. It was like that Robot Chicken when it was Little Hitler.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, a teacher... My desk is too small. Can I have Poland's
table?
Yeah, I know that.
And then next scene, he has two tables. Goes, what happened to Poland? Oh, he took the P.
Yeah.
Goes, my desk is so too small. Can I take Czechoslovakian's table?
Yeah.
And then the final scene, he has all the tables.
Yeah.
He's like, ah. And there's a kid who's USA. He's like, not my problem. And then you see a little Japanese kid come and knock over his soda all over. Now it's my problem. And then honestly, that's how
fucking went
down. But yeah, there's just that I don't get me wrong. One of the most brutal animes I've ever seen is, to this day, is still Berserk.
Yeah.
But that scene, when Clementine knows she's going to die, when he's just slowly starting, and she's doing every fucking thing she can do to fucking try. She's clawing at him, fucking trying to bite him. You see teeth flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Her fucking hands are bleeding, and she's just trying to scratch him, and she, nothing, just nothing. And you just see, again, this is a quote, this is a plus to the fucking voice actor. You hear it in her voice.
Yeah.
And then that just scene just, and then it just goes quiet.
Yeah. Because all he does is just squeeze her.
Yeah.
And slowly crushes the life out of her. It's crazy.
And then probably the thing that made it, that sold it, was just the thud when he just let go. It's just, with her body, her fucking corpse is falling. Like,
and don't forget that he, just like he did with the girl, he makes her to do it slow with her too.
Yeah.
So while he was questioning her, you can see all the freaking, I forgot what they call it, all the metals like falling off her armor.
All her tags falling off. And then you see blood come out of her eyes and ears and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking, it was
brutal.
Brutal
and beautiful.
Not berserk brutal, but fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was fucking great. It was so far the best fucking
because berserk
fight.
Its brutality comes from its artistic views.
Yeah.
This was had good drawing too. But it was everything came together to sell that scene.
Right, yeah. So basically after doing this and then they defeat the dragon guy.
I just love that scene where she takes over, she reveals her whole battle. Sneaks up behind him, stabs him, and then sneaks away. What are you doing? I just want you to know that I could have killed you at any point. So I'm gonna beat you. Which your skill set.
Right, which was fucking great. I thought that was awesome.
It was awesome. I love that scene where Aizen, because earlier Aizen was like, okay, I'm done with this shit. Inabe, finish it.
Yeah.
He'll show him the power of Nazareth.
Yeah. She's like, we're done here. Just clean do up it. The trash.
Yeah. And so then he basically, after this battle, he basically gets promoted to Mithril level.
Yeah.
And
so it was the highest, but it was a huge
leap. It was a huge leap, yeah. And so
we never see him actually, because the next time we see him, he's already adamantite.
Oh yeah, right.
But we don't see him go from Mithril to adamantite. It's just it happens off screen.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing too, because a lot of the what should we call it? There's a lot of things that didn't make it from the manga to the anime.
Yeah.
This is something that happened with Slime 2.
Mm.
They had to take a lot of things from the manga out, and it kind of did affect the storyline.
Yeah.
So it might have been in the manga that of him doing more adventures, but they had to cut it to make more, to get the stuff they wanted to keep.
Right.
Because like in Slime, you watched it, right?
Yes.
Because remember when, out of nowhere, he already has an alliance with the Kingdom of Belmuth?
Oh, that's, what kingdom was that one again? That was the,
the guy, those three adventurers that you find out at the end are elves.
Elves. Oh. Is it elves, right?
The chick, she's a spellcaster, and the two of them are like, one of them is a
warrior. The girl...
You meet them in the second episode when they go in to check for Valdez.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Remember, that's the kingdom they came from.
Wait, wasn't that Falmouth? No.
Yeah, that's not Falmouth or whatever.
Yeah, no. Oh, the alliance with Falmouth happens in this current new season.
What
do you mean? Oh, Falmouth happens currently in this new season.
Okay, so I'm thinking about the other... Belmuth. It's the one where the guild is from, where they meet Shishui, whatever her name is.
What's her name? I'm trying to remember what she looks like.
She's the one that Rimuru eats. And
is it Shizu. That's what
Shizu, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's the where they meet her, and then she comes to adventure with them.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now.
Because remember, she comes, all that shit happens, and then the next episode, they're talking about the alliance that they already have with them.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
That was a huge part of the manga. Like, there was a whole thing about how he tricked, the king of them tricked Rimuru into signing that alliance, because there's in Rimuru's mind, he's like, oh, yes, if I had this kingdom sign over this treaty, we're partners and it's gonna work great. But in reality, Rimuru signed a treaty saying that if they ever, this small nation ever gets attacked, it is now his responsibility to help protect them. So there was a whole thing about how, because of that, going forward, he's always been more cunning. That was the reason he had been more cutting, and that was completely cut out of the anime because of, even though it was in the manga, they had to cut it out to get the story going faster because there's only so many episodes you can animate.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that's the same thing that Overlord's facing, where we're seeing big jumps like this.
Yeah.
Because I know, I think the next movie that's coming now is a manga thing that didn't make it to the anime.
So they made it a movie.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it gives them something to give an original arc that didn't happen yet. Mm-hmm. And it lets them say it so we can all get to see it.
And I said it before, and I'm really loving this trend where they're making movies be canon.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing it with Dragon Ball Super, RIP Akira.
Yeah.
We saw it with Demon Slayer. I still don't know if Goblin Slayer's movie was canon. Mm. It was a good movie, but I don't know if it was canon. But I don't know. I'm really liking that they're doing that now.
Okay, cool. I like that too. Yeah, it's like it makes it. Whereas before, it's just like, oh, it's just like a non-canon side adventure bullshit thing. Like
It's an hour and a half long OVA. Basically.
Yeah, essentially, it doesn't fit within the normal story.
Right.
I like how, like with the way Demon Slayer is doing it, where it's like, oh, this is an arc that instead of making a season,
we're making it a movie.
And I think that that's something that maybe more mangas should or more anime should start looking at.
Yeah.
If the manga it's based on supports that, because obviously
I think it's something that One Piece should have done.
Yeah.
But again, I don't watch One Piece, so I can't speak of it like an expert, but it has like, what, over 1,000 episodes now?
Yeah.
So maybe some of that shit could have been in the movies.
Could have been in the movies?
I don't know if One Piece movies are canon. You watched it, right?
Yes, I've seen a few of their movies. But I don't... the only one I'm still debating if it's canon or not is the red movie.
Which is the one that until recently was breaking records.
Yes, because in like near the end of Wano and Shanks is like talking about some stuff, mm-hmm. you see a scene of Uta in the actual show.
Wasn't it one of the movies that did like a spoiler or like a they kind of like hinted at Gear 5?
Oh yeah, that was red.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So basically we get into this next arc, which is the, you know, Xiao Taiyer being mind controlled fucking arc, essentially, which is how this they end season 2. So it's at 10, 11, 12 and 13 episodes. Episodes 10, 11, 12 and 13, I should say, not 10, not that many episodes. So basically, Xiao Taiyer in episode 10 gets fucking mind controlled by some unknown entity that we don't really fucking know about. And they're trying to figure it out. So
just to go back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
The highest grossing Japanese films, the top five, sorry, no, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least the top 10 mm-hmm. were all animes.
That makes sense.
The top grossing worldwide films. Do you know what the number, this is one of the questions I asked you guys, the number one grossing one
mm-hmm.
was Demon Slayer.
Mm.
But which one do you think would be the highest grossing for Miyazaki? Because one of his films is number 2.
So that's the highest one that he's done?
Most likely, yeah. Well, obviously.
Man, I don't know, to be honest with you. It's probably one that I don't fucking expect.
Oh, you've seen all of them, right?
Pretty much. I think I've seen all of them.
Did you see the last one?
Boy, I haven't seen the newest one. No, I haven't seen that one.
I didn't see it. It was re-released in the Riverside theater.
Oh, maybe we should go see it.
It already passed.
Oh, well, we could watch it on the Xbox. Yeah. I'm sure it's digital. I would say, fuck, man.
Take a wild guess while Josh thinks about it.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
What's the highest grossing Miyazaki film?
Miyazaki.
Because this is the second most grossing one from Japan. Just think of all his movies where you think it'd be the best one or the highest grossing.
I'm trying to remember which movies were his.
That's not a good start.
Well,
I have a horrible time remembering names. Sorry.
One of them was marketed as the Star Wars of anime.
The Star Wars of anime.
Which was
Princess Mononoke. Yeah.
Princess Mononoke.
So yeah, Princess Mononoke. Okay, you got Porco Rosso.
Ponyo.
You got Ponyo. You got fucking Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
You got let's see.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh yeah, Totoro. Fuck, it's probably Totoro. It's probably Totoro's that note. Totoro. I think it's Totoro. I'm gonna guess Totoro because it's probably fucking that one.
All right, I'm gonna go with that new because that's the only one I can remember off the bat. Yeah,
it was Spirited Away.
Oh, that's a good one too.
It is one of the because it is the one that is most referenced with no name.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
I see Totoro shit all the time though, so I figured.
Yeah, Totoro's probably. His, let's see. What's the next Miyazaki film that's on the grossing list? Because I think he had a couple of them on there. Your boy, The Boy and the Heron was number 5.
Uh-huh.
House Moving Castle was number 8.
Hmm.
Ponyo was number 9.
Damn. So you had 4 movies on the top 10 list?
Princess Mononoke was 14.
That's pretty good.
What was the one you said? My Neighbor Totoro?
My Neighbor Totoro, yeah.
Godzilla Minus 1 was 22.
Dang. Mm. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that was an amazing movie.
Dragon Ball Super Hero was 28.
Dang. That's a good movie, too.
Yeah.
All those Dragon Ball Super movies are fucking good, dude. Like, yeah. They're all good, dude. I don't care what anybody says, man. I enjoy them all. But anyways, back to Overlord real quick. Essentially,
he was not even in the top 50.
That's crazy. We'll just wrap it up with this summary of these 4 episodes, which is essentially he figures out that she's under some kind of mind control. Shao Tair is. And I, that
well, you also skipped over the part where they introduced the that rogue, the guy with the blue hair.
Oh, what's his fucking name?
I can't remember any of their names.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
because the new season, no, not the new season, the last season, he dies in that one, right?
I don't think no,
he doesn't. Never mind.
That was Gazef.
Gazef, yeah, Gazef. No, was it?
No.
So basically, he has to figure out.
Name in there?
I don't see it on here.
Brain.
Oh, Brain. Oh, yeah, Brain. That's right. Because he knows he's the martial arts guy, right?
He's like
he knows one that's like arts.
Right under Gaza or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
He goes through a whole mental breakdown after this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, he needs to. He doesn't know if he Ainz doesn't know if he can fucking beat her
because not because she's stronger than him, but because she's literally built to fight against him.
Right. Yeah.
She uses holy and fire magic, which is the two things undead are weak against.
Yeah.
And on top of that, she is high enough where she could close the distance because of those advantages. And
right.
I don't know, man. It kind of seemed like the fucking person who made her to be able
fucking take him down if he ever went rogue. Yeah. So. Now he's like, fuck. So he figures out that she's being mind controlled by a world class item,
which is the highest tier item in Yggdrasil.
Yeah,
which confirms yet again that not only is magic and skills from Yggdrasil are coming over here.
Yeah,
now items have also come over here.
Right. Yeah. So now,
basically, and also the possibility of other players.
Yeah,
other
players. Theoretically,
it's starting to look like his theory is possible.
Yeah,
possible.
Is anyone else that was potentially in the server at the same time could be over there with him. So now basically he's trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? Like I need to beat her. So he basically, that's when he does that whole thing where he's wearing, he uses all that, like those, that special weapons, right? Mm-hmm. Of all the other, what are they called? Player characters, right?
Yeah.
And so this is when
but to say before going into this is like this was a really good, really well animated fight.
Yeah, it was. It was very well animated, and it was cool to see it go down the way it did.
And I like it too that it's I really like this fight because not only is it well animated, it's well thought out. Like, they showed, hey, she's dumb, but she ain't an idiot.
Yeah.
He's fucking smart and can plan shit out like crazy.
Yeah.
But he can make mistakes.
Right.
And it showed like, oh, yeah, I made all these fucking perfect traps. Okay, yeah, that fucking sucks, but I'm strong enough just to fucking plow through it and get to you. And like, oh, shit, that's actually bad.
Yeah.
And then it's also, oh, come on, come at me. I made all these fucking traps.
Yeah.
And she's like, shit, those traps really fucking hurt. He's like, Whew, she bought it. I've only had enough magic for one of those.
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, and then the whole faking damage from fire and or holy.
Yeah.
Because he made it look like he had a resistance to holy, right? Yeah. Or fire. Which one was it?
Fire.
He was faking that fire was hurting him.
Yeah.
In reality, it was the one he was resisting against.
Right. And so she was...
He was resisting fire. That's
so
what
he was pretending that fire was hurting him. Yeah.
He stood their ground like nothing was hurting, that fire wasn't hurting him. So he was pretending fire wasn't hurting him.
Yeah, because he was resistant to fire.
He wasn't resistant to fire.
But he was just pretending.
He was faking to be strong.
Said it was hurting him.
Yeah.
No.
To be strong against it.
Yeah.
Where he was pretending holy magic was hurting him.
Right. Yeah. So then basically he makes her use up all her MP or whatever.
But then she still had tricks up her sleeve.
Right, yeah, she did. But then at the end of the...
That shit was bullshit. As a person who plays RPGs,
yeah,
and this happens a fucking lot, where you fucking drain the boss of all his skills, fucking play that shit perfectly, kill the boss, and what's that fucking famous trope from fucking Dark Souls and shit? Oh, that was just his first form.
Yeah, basically.
And then she's like... Oh man, you fucking did all that shit. Too bad I had a revive thing that revived me with all my health, my skills. I'm fully charged. Oh, and you're still a weak little bitch now.
Yeah, basically.
That's still fucking... It's an anime, but it fucking pissed me off as a gamer.
Yeah, yeah.
We turned the part when she summoned the second form of her, right?
No, where she revived. She died, but she had that revive item that the master gave her. Because Aizuku beat her, and then she revived. That was literally how the second to last episode ended, where she revives herself, and they're both like, "Oh, so I'm back to full skills." Oh yeah, I wasn't aware you had that item. And then the final episode is when he uses his cash up items.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
And then that's when he basically tells her, "Oh, like I know everything about you, bitch. Like, I was friends with your fucking creator, Peroro and Chino." And it's a weird name. It's like their gamer tag.
It's a weird name, but it's a fun name to say.
It is, yeah. Peroro and Chino. So then he's like, oh yeah, I had this all planned out. And so he's like, oh yeah, I switched over to the warrior class and I used this armor and now you're fucked. And
well,
so
and since I'm already in the warrior class, I might as well use this giant fucking axe.
Yeah.
And like she's like, I know, like she's literally naming the weapons to each supreme being.
Right, yeah. So then basically he kills her dead. And then they go back to Nazarick and he basically uses 500 million gold to fucking use the resurrect spell or whatever the fuck it is.
The Lizard Village was the second season, right?
That was season two. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, I haven't finished season two yet. So I'm only like halfway through. So we'll do another episode on season two, three.
Catch up to our level, noob.
Fuck off. So basically he resurrects her and she doesn't have any idea about what happened.
The last thing she remembers is right before she got possessed.
Right. And then basically it does get revealed that the slain theocracy was basically the ones responsible for it.
And the only reason that she wasn't completely under... Oh, wait. Did they reveal that yet?
What?
No, they didn't. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so then that's when they go back to being Momon and Nabe and they go back to the village. And it turns out that, he already got to Adamantite class.
Yeah.
And now they're only the third party in the whole fucking kingdom that's Adamantite level. So they're already at the top. And obviously we didn't get to see that, but you know, whatever, it happens. So that was cool. I would say, how would you guys rate season one? What would you rank it? 9 out of 10?
9 out of 10 for me.
Yep, same.
Yeah, I have to say, to be honest, I give it a 9 out of 10 as well.
The only reason I don't give it a 10 is the lowlies.
Yeah, the lowlies can't do it. Can't do it with the lowlies, but it's not that bad.
Like I'm almost willing to go 9.5. But no, Loli's is that bad.
It's that bad. I can't give it a perfect.
As a matter of fact, it's a 2.
Matter of fact, I'm never watching this anime again.
The only thing it has going for it is that the twins are not sexualized.
Yep, that's true.
And he fucking hates that Shaltier is coming on to him.
Yeah.
Well, he hates that Albedo is coming on to him, but that's his own goddamn
fault. Yeah, that was his own fault. He fucked up. So, anyways, yeah. So that's Overlord Season 1.
All right. Favorite NPC.
Honestly, I think it's might be Cocytus, man. Like
it's for me too. Yeah.
He's fucking legit, man. I enjoy it. I like him. What's his name? The butler, Sebas. He's pretty cool too, man.
Yeah.
Especially in the set, Both of them really shine in the second season.
Yeah, that, well, I mean, I've already seen the whole Lizard Man arc kind of with Kokaitis, and that was cool.
The next arc after
is
that
the Sebas is one?
Sebas. Holy shit. Character development for Sebas is unreal for me, dude. It's fucking great.
Oh, like, wasn't like in the, I think it was this first season, but remember when he met that freaking undead necromancer?
No, that's the second season.
The second season? Dude,
okay, that's the arc that Josh is about to go into.
Okay, never mind. I'll shut up.
So, we will. It won't be probably the next episode, but it'll be probably the one after.
What do you think about the mad loyalty that the fucking NPCs had to Aynes?
Ah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's like it is an undefeatable
going
loyalty.
To the beginning of season two, episode two.
Yeah,
remember where Shaltier and Albedo are fucking going at it because they both want to bear his next child,
right? Whatever? Yeah,
and like Kokaitis was like, "Why is this a big fucking deal?" And then they're just like, "Well, think about it. The Supreme Beings aren't forever, as we just saw as the other ones abandoned us."
Yeah.
Goes, think about it. It's the next generation of the Supreme Beings that we can continue to serve for the rest of time. And Kokaitis is just walking away. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard. That is literally just walking away.
Yeah, true. So
that's how fucking so madly loyal that they want him to have kids so they can continue to serve a Supreme Being.
Yeah. That's fucking awesome. Anyways, I love this show. It's fucking great so far.
If you like this show as much as you do, when it comes to slime, you're gonna love it. Not because
I just don't think I'm gonna like slime.
You won't look. The only reason you hate slime right now is because I love it, and you have to fucking be a negative Nancy.
I mean, that's true.
But with this one has RPG elements, not as hardcore as this.
Okay.
But the hardcore thing that this show has that I think you are going to fucking love is city building.
Okay, I like that.
And not only that, it's fucking like, I don't know, man. I honestly think you're going to love it the way Rimuru reacts with everybody.
Oh, okay.
You like the show because the people are blindly loyal to him.
Uh-huh.
In this show, he gets people to be blindly loyal to him, but you get to see it. You get to see how he does it and earn respect.
Okay.
Because one of the characters I really fucking like right now, especially in the new season, because of what he grew from what he was in the first season to what he is now, is Gabaru. The lizard folk guy.
Yeah.
I fucking hated him in the first season. And then in season four, like, he's one of his most trusted aides right now. Mm. And I'm like, that is fucking cool that he went to the most annoying person to... Holy shit. When he was having that conversation with Rimuru in the latest episode, I'm like, wow, he became reliable and fucking all this good shit. And I'm like, that's what I'm like, oh shit, he had character development. I didn't even fucking notice.
Got him.
Like, no, they already had me. They just got me further in there.
Double got him.
I'm deeper in the Alice in Wonderland hole.
What's it called?
Rabbit hole?
Yeah, the rabbit hole. Anyways. All right. Well, you got anything else for this episode?
I'm just saying, if you trusted me with Overlord, trust me with slime as well.
All right. Well, let's finish fucking Overlord first.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because once you get into the good parts of season two, you're not going to stop. You're probably going to finish season four by next week's time.
All right.
I know it's physically impossible with the amount of time you have, but you're going to find a way.
All right. We'll see about that.
Because going into three and four, you're going to see really strong, city/world building, or no, it's not even city building, it's fucking kingdom building.
Oh, that's cool. Mm. All right, well, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. So, anyway,
any last thoughts,
Ruben? Anything?
Nothing much. I'm just glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, good. All right, well, I mean, we'll talk about season two. Well, I don't know what we're gonna talk about on the next episode because Frank fucking runs this show, so I have no idea what we talk about going into these episodes. But
speaking of me running this show, I just like to say a big giant thank you to all the agents out there. And I hope that you all have a fantastic week. Erica thinks he'll do it to be in.